Welcome to the Gerald Brooks Leadership Podcast, a deep dive into biblical leadership with pastor and author, Dr. Gerald Brooks.
Hi, this is Gerald Brooks. Thank you so much for joining me for today's podcast. Hey, before we jump into the lesson, I want to remind you some upcoming dates. On April the 25th, I'm going to be in Rancho Cucamonga doing a roundtable. It's a great church. Diego Mesa, who is a great friend of mine, will be hosting, and we are going to have a fabulous time. And then on the 5th of May, it's a Monday, I will be in Dayton, Ohio, and I will be doing a roundtable, and I want to encourage you to come and to be a part of that. And then also on the 7th, we will be in Raleigh, North Carolina, doing a roundtable. Want to encourage you to sign up, to engage in these. As I've said forever, when you listen, you add to your life. When you're in the room, you multiply. And you tell me where you want to go, and I'll tell you whether you want to just be a leader who adds or a leader who multiplies. The room will always multiply you because of the presence and the power of it. So I want to invite you again to Rancho on 425, to Dayton, Ohio on the 5th, and then to Raleigh, North Carolina on the 7th. Today, I want to talk to you about leading to scale. Leading to scale, S-C-A-L-E, leading to scale. If you've ever watched the TV show Shark Tank, so much of their conversation is basically about this. They hear someone walk in and enthusiastically present a product. They then ask the individual for some data points on what they've been able to achieve. Now, all of those that are thinking about investing, they're asking themselves two questions. One, is it scalable? So a lot of products are not scalable. They're just going to be the kind of thing. It's sort of a one-off. You can do a little bit here. You can do a little bit there. But that's not where the money's made. The money's made is if you can upscale something. And so that being said, they're looking to say, okay, can we take what someone's done in their garage and can we scale it so that it can be done at all of these other stores or maybe through TV ventures or online, that we can bring it to scale, that we can produce it, we can have a profit in it. Can we scale it? Well, if you're going to lead, regardless of what you do, you have to ask the question, are you leading to scale? So in business, there's a term called scaling it, the ability to take something that's at one level and bring it up and make it to multiple other levels. So you just don't want to go one level up. You want to begin to go more levels up. And so that's one of the terms, scaling it. Can you scale this product? Well, if you're going to bring it to scale, then you're probably going to have to do some infrastructure a little bit different. You're probably going to have some different team members because you're going to have to bring it to scale. And this refers to upsizing it, to take it from being a product that sells maybe 1,000 and make it sell 1,000,000. And so you're scaling it. You're trying to produce it on a higher level, distribute it on a higher level, and sell it on a higher level. Now, what this says to us that may not be in a product oriented, but a people, can you do for many what you want to do for a few? Can you do for many what you want to do for a few? So in your life and my life, there are things that we are well-intentioned that we want to do. We want to do certain things. We want to be nice. We want to be kind. We want to be loving. We want to be considerate. We want to be helpful. We want to be individuals that are investing in other individuals. But can you do that on a larger scale than just you? And so if you're going to do that, you're going to have to create leverage. And leverage is the ability to take your abilities and maybe with a fulcrum, multiply that. So where you could probably lift maybe a couple of 100 pounds, now you're able to lift maybe 1,000 or 2,000 pounds. So the tipping point, being a superstar is not enough. We see it every year in the NFL. And in the NFL, we watch people that are prolific quarterbacks be surrounded by average individuals. And so these average individuals around them, an average running back, an average receiver. And what we find is that a prolific quarterback can take average and it can make it a little bit above average, but it cannot take average and make it great. So no matter how big a superstar you are and how much talent, gift, ability you have, having other people that have a similar gifting talent around them is key to being able to create leverage and the tipping point. So basically, let me simplify this thought. You can't win without others. You can't win without others. See, it's other people that help you to scale what you may be good at and what God's called you to do and what you desire to do. And you need other people who are proficient in being able to help you be able to reach and impact other people. So you cannot win without others. And so in my industry, you can't do ministry alone. And that's vividly played out in Exodus chapter 18. Moses has brought Israel on the other side of the Red Sea. They're beginning their daily function of life. And as they begin that, people have problems. See, one thing you learn from that is no matter how big the victories are in a life, there's still everyday issues that have to be dealt with. And so people were coming to Moses and saying, I have this problem, I have that problem. And he would sit down with them and he would work them through their problem and talk them through their problem. But the difficulty was he's one individual and he has millions of people. Well, Jethro, his father-in-law, comes. And when Jethro, his father-in-law, sees this, he says, the thing that you're doing is not good. He says two things. You're going to hurt yourself and you're going to hurt the people. And whenever I teach these verses, I always highlight that. When the leader's hurt, the people are going to be hurt. The leader hurts, he passes down his hurt to people. He says, you're going to hurt yourself and you're going to hurt the people. And what he was saying is, you can't do this on that scale. So you're going to have to scale it. If you're going to want to help millions of people, you're going to have to scale this. And that's what Jethro was saying. You've got to scale it. So how did they scale it? He said, you need to find captains, leaders over 100, over 1,000, and over 10,000. And he just said, hey, you've got to scale this thing. Find those people that can help you with 10 people and then 100 people and then 1,000 people and those that are very effective that can help you with 10,000 people. And he said, you've got to scale it. Well, this isn't the only time we see this upscaling principle. And that upscaling principle happens in the book of Acts. We know that the church has been prolific. They've had 3,000. They've had 5,000. People are getting saved. People are giving their life to Christ. There's this influx of new people that are becoming dependent on the gospel. But more than that, on the leaders at that time, who were the 12? And these 12 individuals one day get a report from Acts chapter 6. The Grecians are upset because they feel like some of their people are being neglected in ministry. And so as a result of that, they go to the leaders, the 12, and they said, hey, this just isn't happening the way it should happen. And the 12 look and they said, fine, 7 people of good report. And we've talked about it in other lessons, but he gives a 7-fold test of leadership in Acts chapter 6 if you're going to find a leader. And that's on past lessons. But he says, find 7 people. What did they know? They knew that they needed to upscale. How do you upscale? You get more people involved. You get more people. So what did Moses do? He found captains over 10. He found captains over 100. He found captains over thousands and 10,000s. What did the disciples do? It says in there that they found captains, people, seven individuals to help oversee, making sure that there was not neglect. And so you learn that when anytime you upscale, you solve problems that are existing, but you're creating opportunities also. And the Bible says, and the church grew greatly. And so you see that anytime you begin to create upscaling, it always comes back in not only problem resolution, but growth of the organization. Now, what we know biblically is that ultimately Jesus gave us the model, and Jesus could have come up with any model. In fact, one of the things that I think some of us that are prolific leaders would love to do is sit down with Jesus and say, why did you choose the model that you chose? Because most of us who engage with people sometimes scratch our heads and we think to ourselves, man, you know, why did you trust us with the most important aspect of the gospel to administer that and minister that to an entire world that doesn't know you? Why would you trust us knowing that sometimes people are lazy, sometimes people are angry, sometimes people doubt, sometimes people fear, sometimes people have selfish agendas? Why would you do that? He could have chosen any model, but he chose the model of creating a team. He chose the model of creating a team. Now, just think about it. If Jesus, the Son of God, chose that model, then that model has to be the best model of all models that can be chosen. In fact, that's one of the reasons sometimes when I go into bookstores, I pick up books and I put them down because I know the authors. And what I know is that they're writing leadership books, but they don't have a team. See, they're just writers. They have somebody who sets up a book signing for them. They have somebody who is giving them and inviting them to speak, but they don't have a team. They're not responsible for administering what they are sharing. They're just sharing. And to me, that disqualifies you at times, because if you're going to be a prolific leader, then get in the trenches. Know what it's like to build a team, know what it's like to sustain a team, and know what it's like to create that team. He knew, Jesus, that he had to create leverage. And as the Son of God, he knew that his leverage would come through creating a team of people. He showed us the power of scale. He showed us the power of upscaling and creating scale so that literally, he could take who he was and he could upscale it. Remember, what you would like to do for one, you desire to do for many, but you can't do it for many. So what do? You upscale. You find a team that takes on your spiritual DNA to create and to multiply. Now, when Jesus did that, we see a pattern develop. And the pattern was, as Jesus began to develop his team, the first thing is he prioritized it. What we know in Scripture was Jesus began his ministry, but as soon as he began it, he began to look for team members. It was one of the first things he ever did. He said, "Follow me." He went up to people and he tapped them on the shoulder and he says, "Hey, I need to upscale. And what I need you to do is I need you to help me upscale. But as I upscale, I need you on board." Now, you've got to understand, the people that he's talking to had no dimension of understanding. But this brings us back to the leadership principle. People believe in the leader before they believe in the vision. And a lot of people will come to me and say, "Well, I can't create a team." And if you can't create a team, my first question is, are you believable? Do you offer something that in your life is believable, that one, you're hearing from God, two, you're obedient to God, 3, you're following God. And 4, you're doing something that God wants you to do. And 5, what you're doing is important. You've got to be believable. People got to look at you and say, hey, if I follow you, I'm going somewhere. And see, if you're not going somewhere, you can hire people, but just because you hire people doesn't mean they're following you. It just means you're paying them. But it was the first thing. He looked at people and he said, follow me, follow me. The next thing we know is that he valued it. He created value for it. And what that means is he gave time to it. And we realize that even though he would minister to multitudes and he would go in the synagogue and preach, he would stand on a hill and he would deliver the Sermon on the Mount and he would feed the multitudes, that he would do all of those things, what we know is that he valued it, because the majority of his time wasn't spent speaking, it wasn't spent healing, it was spent creating this team. He valued it. He gave time. That's where his time was going. And in your life, you need to figure out, how do you create that? Now, see, a lot of people say, well, I want to create relationships. No, you want to create a team. You want to create a team. Now you say, does that mean that we don't have a good relationship? No, it does mean that you have good relationships, but it means the good relationships and you being someone's best friend isn't the goal. It's creating a functioning team, because in your life, you can only have so many best friends, and you're not going to succeed, because if you're truly 20 people's best friends, you're doing nothing but being a friend. But you have to be a leader. And he valued it, and he was teaching them and he was modeling. The next thing he did, he invested in them. He invested in them. It was where he did the most teaching. We know that the Sermon on the Mount wasn't to a multitude. It started as a multitude, but it says, but he kept climbing, and those who climbed with him, who kept climbing with him. See, a lot of people will come to a meeting, but there's a difference between coming to a meeting and being committed. And so he kept climbing. And those that he kept climbing with, he invested with. And so that being said, I just want to tell you, you've got to invest in people. And one of the things is, honestly, for some of you, you've got to expose. I'm with some great young leaders nowadays. But when you're a young leader, you don't have enough perspective or a loud enough voice to create. That's one reason I'm so sold on the School of Leadership and getting out the videos of leadership. Because if you can get your team to sit down once a month and watch a video that expands them, that stretches them, that enlarges them, then what that means is this. You're beginning to create leverage with them. And for some of you that are young, you need another voice to echo your voice, so that when they hear your voice, they know that your voice is backed up by other prolific leaders. And so I want to encourage you. You want to know something about the videos, you call my office. You want to know about even takes more commitment, but starting the leadership school, you can call my office. But I'm just telling you, you've got to invest in them. There's got to be a moment. And then the next thing, he enabled them. He put his influence behind them. And so what did he do? He took the 12 and he sent them out on a beta test. And that beta test was, man, I need you to go everywhere. And he sent them out by twos. And I need you to take my name, my influence, and I need you to utilize it. And if I can say anything to young team members, when you're young on a team, you don't have influence. You're using the influence of those that have been on the team. And as I tell people, when you fail, you're not failing your influence, because no one expected you to succeed. You're failing the leader's influence, because they're the ones that people are trusting. And so when people come and they're new on my staff, I tell them, for the first couple of years, you don't have influence. You have my influence. You have borrowed influence. But if you borrow influence and you use it wisely, eventually you'll have your own. So he enabled them. He sent them out. Then what did he do? He found 70 others. He's expanding his team, and he sent them out in his name. And he trusted them. He trusted them. And what that means is he entrusted them that if he gave them influence, they would use it wisely. But every now and then he had to be corrective. So when two of his disciples saw a certain city not responsive and he said, hey, let us call fire down upon it, he had to be responsive and said, hey, that's not the message nor the model we're creating. We're not trying to consume people who don't follow us. We're trying to entice people to follow us by our lives and our lifestyle. So the old model was if someone didn't follow you, you took them out. Well, that was the ritual that they had. But that ritual wasn't the ritual that Jesus was creating. So he trusted them. He knew they'd make mistakes. He knew they'd struggle. He knew that that was going on. And then he grew them. As he recruited them, he didn't leave them what they were. He was investing. And here's the thing about investing in people. They're not going to get it at first. As I tell people, I frequently am giving people answers to questions they've never thought of asking. I've had people that have been on my team and have gone out in ministry, and they'll call back and they'll say, I never realized how much I was learning. And they'll make statements like this, I end up quoting you all the time. See, at the moment, they might not have enjoyed it. They may not have understood it, but when they get out there, they understand what the wisdom was that they needed. And so he grew them. He invested in them. And just because they don't get it, don't quit investing in them. Give it to them. Give it to them. Give it to them. What I tell people is the average leader on my team will be a great leader on most teams. Why? Because they are surrounded by leadership thought. And we've created it. And everything that we do on the podcast, everything that we do on the School of Leadership, everything we do on our videos, they're all constantly hearing that kind of concept. And so even if they run from it and they don't like it, when they leave, they say, man, I used all that stuff all the time. And then he depended on them. He said that when I leave, you're going to stay. And when I leave, you're going to end up going, and you're going to go in my name. And what we're going to do is we're going to create leverage all over this world. Why? Because what he wanted to do for a few, he couldn't do for everyone. But what he did for a few, he found others to help him do it for everyone. And now the gospel is being propagated. Now the message is being shared. It is going on everywhere. It's going on continually because he depended on people who didn't get it at the time, but he scaled it. He invested in it. He created a team. And it's the old analogy of Abraham Lincoln. If you had several hours to cut down a tree, what would you do first? He said, I would take most of the time sharpening my axe. Well, if you're going to lead and you're going to lead proficiently, then you're going to take most of your time. And what you're going to do is you are going to develop a team. So Jesus' action plan was this. He prioritized it. He valued it. He invested in it. He enabled it. He trusted it. He grew it, and he depended on it. Takeaways. Whenever you're looking for a team, there's always the talent question. You'll always be looking and inviting. You're always on the mission to find talent, just people who have possibilities. And so you're always going to be looking and inviting. That's apparently what Jesus did because he went from 12 to 70, and on the day of Pentecost, there were 120. So he kept adding to his team. Why? Because he kept looking and inviting. The next thing is time. It's where you're going to spend most of your time. And again, if you're a young leader, or even if you're an old leader, maybe your voice has become a little bit dull to your team, use the videos that we put out and develop your team, and then train them. Practice and pray. Practice and pray, and keep practicing and keep praying. That is how you lead to scale. I want to encourage you to do it. I want to remind you that on April 25th, I'll be in Rancho Cucamonga, and it will be a great opportunity to learn. On May 5th, I'll be in Dayton, Ohio. It's a Monday. We will be doing a leadership environment there. You can call and find out about that. And then on the 7th, we will be in Raleigh, North Carolina. Remember, if you want to grow your team, grow you. The more you grow, the more your team grows. And you can listen and you can add. But when you're in the room, you multiply. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Gerald Brooks Leadership Podcast. If you'd like more information on Dr. Brooks's books, audio, or speaking engagements, please go to GeraldBrooksMinistries.com.